Welcome, everyone, to The Peaceful Planet. This is your show host, Marcia McMahon, and we have a very interesting show today. We want you to stay with us. We're going to be exploring 2012, prophecies, astrology, pop culture, Age of Aquarius, and the Golden Age and Shift of the Ages. It's been called many things, but we're going to be talking with Pam Youngins, who is our special guest today, and she is from NorthPointAstrology.com. That's www.NorthPointAstrology. And she's going to be talking with me about the Age of Aquarius and also about what she does as an astrologer. And then if you have a need for a mini reading, you can also give me a call here, toll free at 877-876-5227. And we'll take your calls just at the beginning of the show because we want to focus on this exciting topic. And I also want to remind our listeners that we're coming into the holiday season, and if you're looking for that perfect gift, I am a watercolorist specializing in paintings of the Ascended Masters, mainly focused on Princess Diana. You can visit my website at dianaspeakstotheworld.com. And then you can also click on Ascended Masters Gallery, where you can see new works of art of John Lennon and other inspired works. So all of these are available as limited edition prints. I also have my book, With Love from Diana, which is all about helping us to come to a more peaceful world, especially focused on the Middle East and preventing both terrorism and nuclear proliferation in that area. So we have a lot of exciting things on my site, DianaSpeaksToTheWorld.com, and you can pick up a gift, and it can be thought of as a way of forming peace for the planet. So anyway, the Peaceful Planet is just getting started, and if you have a call for a mini reading, you can call 877-876-5227. I want to mention the music that you're listening to this afternoon. The first song was Something for Gossamer Wings. That music is being channeled in through the mediumship of Bob Murray at www.thestarsstillshine.com, where you can hear more of his fantastic music. That one is inspired in the line of George Harrison and Something for Gossamer Wings. The new music that he's producing is phenomenal, and we encourage you to listen to it. And we'll be featuring it throughout the show. So welcome, Pam, to our show. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
We have a caller. Hello, caller.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Not bad.
Can I help you with a mini reading?
Sure. What do you need? My birth date?
Well, Pam is not actually doing a mini readings, but I understand. I was taking calls for mini readings with the angels from myself.
Oh, that'd be great.
Unless you're wanting to assist our caller.
You know, if something comes up, I'm happy to jump in, but
okay, wonderful.
Like, sure.
Okay, because we discussed this ahead of time, and this was not something that we agreed to. It's posted on the site that she'll take general questions about.
Oh, okay, so you need a general question.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. 2008 wasn't very fun for me. General question, will 2009 be somewhat better?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, and let me tune in to the angels and spirit and see. And could you give me your name, please?
Sure, my name is Nancy Marino.
Nancy Marina?
Yes, M-O-R-E-N-O.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Nancy. Let me tune into your vibration.
Yeah.
Were you having some challenges with your health in the past year?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I was sensing. Like, I don't know if I'm sensing an operation or just something going on there in sort of your midsection.
Mm.
And
and
basically, let me tune in a little finer to spirit and see what they're giving me. Okay, I'm being told that there will be a healing, but you will have to be participatory in your healing.
Mm-hmm.
So Spirit is telling me to look forward to joyful news in the coming year, but at the same time, you're being asked to maybe change some things with your lifestyle perhaps your nutrition. Maybe you're already doing this, mm-hmm. and maybe work meditation and the angels into your daily routine.
Right.
Okay?
That sounds pretty good.
All right. So thank you for calling. I appreciate
your call. Thank you so much, dear. Be well.
You're welcome. Bye now. Okay, and we're always grateful for callers, but we do have a very special guest, and we do want to focus in on astrology and the age of Aquarius, planetary alignments both now and leading up into the next few years. And I'd like to read to you Pam Youngen's bio. Pam Youngen lives near Seattle, Washington, with her husband and their two dogs. She has been interpreting charts professionally for over 20 years. The website includes Pam's weekly North Point Journal, basic astrological information, a forum for asking questions about astrology, descriptions of North Point astrology services, and some of Pam's favorite astrological, spiritual, and healing resources. And a quote from her site says, "We are eternally growing spiritual beings with the power to direct and transform our lives. The insights gained through astrology can remind us of that truth and put us increasingly in touch with knowledge and guidance that is within." So welcome, Pam. It's wonderful to have you with us.
Oh, thank you, Marcia. It's great to be here.
Uh-huh. So I have your picture posted on the show page now. I don't know if you saw that.
I haven't looked. I did see the email you sent out.
Okay. Well, it's right there. And so I want to guide our listeners. If you're listening today and you can click on that little link that says about our show, that will take you up, and then you can click on to Pam's site at northpointastrology.com and see all of the good things that she has to offer on her website there. There's a beautiful picture of some nebulae. So we're going to be focused in on the relationship an individual has to their astrological chart and the relationship that we have to all the stars and the solar system and how those energies affect us. And we're just going to start out with sort of a basic intro to astrology. So, Pam, if you could give us more information on how this process works and then any specific information about what planets are doing right now.
Okay, sounds great. So I look at an astrology chart as a very personal representation of what our soul wanted to accomplish in this lifetime, what challenges it wanted to overcome, what ways it wanted to grow, what gifts it wanted to explore, and a general timeline, too. The way a chart is laid out, we can usually kind of watch the process of life. And whenever a big event happens in someone's life, my feeling is that they knew ahead of time on some level that this important event would happen around this time, and they have been preparing. And so in my readings, I try to focus in on the lessons to be gained from any experience, whether it's a happy one or a not happy one, because that's why I feel we're here. We're here growing and learning. A person's birth chart basically shows where the planets were when they took their first breath of life. And if you look at this energetically, you can say that these planets were creating kind of an energetic matrix tapestry. And then when the first breath was taken, that breath incorporated all those energies into the body. And so while we do come in and take that first breath at a certain time and have those challenges and opportunities throughout our life, we do continue to change and grow. So it's not like we're going to be stuck with what we came in with at that level. We're always advancing. And that's also something I really focus on in astrology readings is I oftentimes, if a person is old enough, I can look back to previous times when they had similar types of experiences and say, okay, what did you learn there? What are you trying to learn now that is another step higher in that process?
Mm-hmm.
Does that
wonderful.
Make sense?
And I love the way you describe the growth process
okay.
because I myself don't believe that, you know, even though I know that the stars and the planets totally influence our potential, and of course when great beings incarnate on this planet like Yeshua or Jesus, There were great configurations of stars and right. you know, so the so-called star that was leading the astrologers. So right. astrology is right in the Bible, and, you know, it's confirmed. I guess in the ancient times, astrology and astronomy were all one, and then at some point they split. And yes. astrology, you know, hasn't gained the same level of renown that astronomy has in the finer disciplines in academia. But to my mind, they should be integrated in all one because they're equally valid, don't you feel?
Oh, I especially feel that way with being mm-hmm. an astrologer. That makes sense. It's kind of like combining Eastern and Western medicine.
Yeah, exactly. It's a more intuitive approach to understanding mm-hmm. all these changes that are afoot mm-hmm. in the solar system, the stars, and so on, and everything is constantly moving. And I liked your quote about growth, and I concur with you. Even in my psychic readings that I do for people, mm-hmm. they're focused on spiritual growth. And mm-hmm. so I think that when you look at something as a fixed thing, that's when you're beginning to stagnate, and you want to always look at any of the disciplines that can give you more information intuitively, as at least this is speaking for myself, as a stepping point into greater understanding of self-knowledge, and not necessarily as a fixed thing. Oh, well, your star's in this and your Venus is in this, and you know, and I don't understand astrology, so you can explain this more to us, but I know that you know, some people become fixated with where their sign is and how their traits relate, and they don't move beyond it into, you know, self-growth. But all of these right. disciplines, including psychic readings with the archangels, are there as tools to assist us. They're metaphysical tools that assist us personally on right. our own journey of spiritual growth.
Right. Well, and like anything, astrology can be used either as a crutch or a tool. You know, you can say, oh, I'm that way because my Venus is square Uranus or whatever. Or you can say, okay, I came in with this configuration. How can I grow with it and utilize it? So it's always up to the development and intention of the individual, how they use the information.
Mm-hmm. Well, totally agree on that point. That's wonderful. And in particular, I had talked mm-hmm. about at the beginning of the show how we were going to focus on so many of the new energies that are coming in now with
right.
the thought of ascension and the prophecies, the pop culture, mm-hmm. the age of Aquarius mm-hmm. that it has been called, and sometimes it's called the golden age of mankind, the shift of the ages. And it even corresponds, of course, to the Mayan calendar, which ends in 2012 on
right.
December the 21st. And I have information from the angels and guides concerning all of these cosmic occurrences and alignments. And so I thought it'd be interesting to get your take on the age of Aquarius and how the planets are planning to align. And,
okay.
of course, if you would like to share anything about what the planets are doing right now, we can start with that point and then lead into the fascinating prophecies, and then I will read some of my messages from Archangel Michael. So we'll
okay.
see where we go.
Oh, that sounds great. That sounds great. Well, you know, actually, in preparation for today, I created this timeline from now until about 2013 because there are some things that are starting to build now that won't complete until 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And so right away, you know that I'm not thinking that the end times mean that we are annihilated. That's not my personal belief. But I do feel like we're in a really intense time of growth. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think we get that information from a lot of different places. And certainly, I think we're all feeling that.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about the current energies and current planetary alignments. And just starting this fall, in October, as a matter of fact, we began in earnest this process. It's been building for a few years, but we've really started entering kind of the major transition points. And for anybody who knows astrology, what occurred in October was that Saturn was opposing Uranus. And I'll give a brief overview of what that looks like. Saturn is about structure and being conservative and staying with proven methods. And Uranus is about change and trusting in a higher source and moving into kind of, you know, we could call it kind of a more new age, if you wanted to call it that, but certainly a higher perspective of life and allowing change to happen as it needs to. So when those two planets are in opposition from each other, they're both pulling in opposite ways. So we've got one side that wants things to stay the same or to follow the proven, and the other side that wants to change and to move forward. And there's been a struggle set up. We did have elections. It did seem like the Uranus side kind of came out on top of that particular dynamic. The
mm-hmm.
other thing,
yeah, I would confirm that. For
yeah,
sure.
And the other thing, and then I'll pause and see if this made any sense. But Saturn is currently in Virgo, which means we are in a place of being asked to take responsibility to make things better, to make life better, and that means taking personal responsibility for, you know, what's going on in our everyday world, as well as the larger global responsibility. And then Uranus opposite that in Pisces is saying, and there's more ways to look at this, and we have resources beyond our physical standard way of looking at things, and how do we access that individual spiritual source and resource that will inform us as we make the changes that need to happen, take better responsibility for our lives. So while there's this dynamic of opposition going on, we're also being asked to find a balanced place in the middle that combines both the personal responsibility and the letting go and letting God, if you want to call it that. That's kind of a standard way of saying it.
Well, you know, I can see that reflected in our society, too, because,
uh-huh.
as you mentioned, the election of Barack Obama and the people's request for change. At the same time, people wanting to stay with the status quo represented in the bailout of the of the markets. And
right.
I can see this reflected in my personal life, too, of certain things that I want to stay within the status quo while yearning for the new and the change and the willingness to step forth perhaps more fully into my light work. So I'm correlating everything that you're saying to the current moment in time. And I also want to say, too, that my feeling is that the collective consciousness is such that, you know, our current situations, our current markets, our current ways of doing things will no longer do in
mm-hmm.
the new age, where we have to consider thinking about the collective good of our entire planet instead of thinking about serving the needs of the greedy, the
mm-hmm.
corporate, the capital, corrupt, you know, situation that America has become. And so I think that we're in a position here for great spiritual and political change, and I'm not getting political, and please don't take it that way, to my listeners, that is to say, but when change happens, it happens on all levels, and
right.
I'm saying that the collective is now becoming more ready to embrace the ideas that we put forth on this program, which are ideas of oneness, of sharing, of taking care of others, and of course, the goal is ending war on the planet and ending nuclear proliferation and terrorism in my particular work with Princess Diana and my channeling.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've had a lot of other people on my programs that came in to talk about ascension, and one of my themes on my show is ascension, and I have produced some CDs of past guests that were world luminaries on their thoughts on what ascension is. And I think a really easy way to understand ascension, if you are confused by the number of channelings out there and or the New Age movement and all the talk of it, I think one easy way to think about it is that ascension is a moving up in consciousness from one level of existence to the next. And it's my understanding from what I have from the archangels and guides that we are moving from the third dimension, which is duality, and right and wrong, and black and white, and warfare and peace, and all these opposites, into a different place in consciousness of the fourth dimension, where we can embrace one another and ideas with unity consciousness, and therefore we can be more effective in our world by not being caught up in anger or in other types of drama. And we're moving our consciousness up to embrace, we can embrace duality and live in it. So I'm going to share some of my messages in a while, but I want to ask you too, since you highlighted what we're doing right now, ask you what you have in the next couple of years for us and what, you know, is going to happen with the planetary alignments in the age of Aquarius and how you interpret all of the age of Aquarius and how that all fits into your understanding, astrologically speaking.
Okay, great. Well, that's a huge area of that's a huge area. So
yeah, absolutely. It's controversial, too. But we'll go there. I know you can do it.
I'll take pieces of it. So I did start saying that we're kind of at the beginning wave of what looks like, you know, maybe a 4 to 5 year process that really challenges us to do our best work on the planet. And I would equate what you said with ascension. I completely concur that it's involving a shift in consciousness. Part of that shift in consciousness is becoming aware of the fact that we not only exist here in the planet, we exist in the form of our higher selves, and that we can access that information at any time. And so people talk about, and maybe this is familiar to most, but talk about the veil thinning, so the veil that separates this dimension from other dimensions. And my feeling is, yes, that that is thinning, and that we're getting to be more expanded in our awareness so that we can start to participate on more than just the physical level. And what's really wonderful about some of the energies coming in 2009, some of them are disruptive, but there is underlying a conjunction between Neptune, Chiron, and Jupiter, which is very strong in May, and then comes in again between at the end of 2009 and the beginning of 2010. And this, to me, is lovely. It's in the sign of Aquarius, so it has to do with dissolving the old boundaries between peoples and helping us understand community, helping heal our feeling that we have to be separate. So this is both true interpersonally between nations and between us and our higher selves or guides, however you want to term that other aspect of reality that we can tap into. So, and the fact that Chiron is involved, some people are familiar with Chiron, some aren't. He was only discovered in 1977, so he's a relatively new player on the astrological field. But he really does have to do with a healing process. And so this, to me, is a wonderful, hopeful energy that really is a part of 2009. We do have some continuing challenges. This Saturn-Uranus opposition that I started talking about that I do feel, and Marcia, I completely agree, it corresponded with some of the financial market collapse. And really, Saturn in Virgo right now is making it very clear where structures that are currently in existence really don't have a good foundation, are not based in reality. Saturn is really always trying to get us to pay attention to what works and what doesn't work and to get rid of what doesn't work. So while Saturn is in Virgo, we're going to continue to see structures that are not solid fall apart. It doesn't mean they can't start to rebuild right away. But any steps that are taken have to be more than, and I'm putting this in quotes, bailout, because we tend to do that in lots of ways, on our personal lives and you know, politically too. We are in a place where bailouts no longer work. We are being asked to get to the core of our patterns and our issues and to heal them, to acknowledge them, and to become fully responsible for what we are creating in our lives. So it's interesting, the Saturn-Uranus opposition is actually going to happen a total of 5 times. It comes and goes from now until the summer of 2010. And during that time, we also have Pluto step into the mix. So it complicates things in that Pluto also says, okay, it's time to really rework the political structures of our world, the governments, what isn't working there needs to be, again, torn down so it can be rebuilt in a stronger way. And I think that what I always want to focus on is the fact that nothing is torn down without there being something else that could take its place, that should take its place. And the wonderful thing about, and I'm going to kind of get out there a little bit more in the way, at least what I think is out there. Maybe people think I'm already out there. But
no.
Because if, now this is thinking of outer space. So we are in a solar system, in the Milky Way galaxy, and even as we rotate around the sun, our Milky Way galaxy rotates around what's called the galactic center. So we
are. I was going
to
bring up galactic center, and I've got a message from Michael. So this is perfect, and I'll read it after you've completed your thought.
Okay, great. And you know, I wanted to tell you that that picture you grabbed from my website—not the one of me, but the one right below it—that's a picture of the galactic center.
That's what I knew. I painted that into a painting a couple years ago of Archangel Metatron.
Oh, wonderful.
And I put that in the background. I'll have to, it's on the website in, I think it's in the Ascended Master section of the gallery on the website.
Cool.
So
I'll
send it along
look.
To you, but you can find
too.
It through my site. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a wonderful picture, isn't it?
Oh, wonderful, yeah. Oh, I'm excited to see your painting. That's great. So, as we are moving through space, and, you know, it's supposed to take us like 24,000 years to go all the way around our orbit of the galactic center.
Mm-hmm.
But as we do that, we're going through new territory. And I'm sure that, you know, I don't know, and I don't know how they'd even measure this, but I'm sure everything is in movement. You know, the universe is expanding. So we continue to engage new energies. And the point of this topic, the way I got started on this, is that as we continue to engage new energies, new ideas, new solutions are continually being downloaded to us. And evidently, what I understand is that information, because all of our planets are rotating around the sun, that is the magnetic center where that information comes, and then the sun broadcasts that information to us on a daily basis. So one thing you can do is go out in the sun when it is shining and ask for a download, ask for the information, the solutions that will help you in whatever your current questions are, because it's continually new information that's coming through. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to pause there because that felt like an awful lot. So
that
Marcia,
was great. And I'd like to read my message from the Heavenly Hosts and Archangel Michael.
Okay.
And this was a message that was delivered a year ago, and I think it was on the sacred energy of 208, and that is part of the title, but I think it's very relevant to our topic today, and because I think that people are searching for truth, and when they're searching, it's helpful to, at least in my mind, go back over messages that I've received and check them for their validity. And when I found this one in my collection of Archangel Michael messages, I thought, wow, this really seems to speak to today's show. So the title is The Heavenly Host and Archangel Michael Speak on the Sacred Energies of 208. And Michael is saying here, we greet you in great light of the great central sun. Your sun, your earth, and your galaxy nears its appointed time of ascension. Rest in faith before the commencing of the age of full Aquarius. The year 2008 holds much for Earth's inhabitants. Tumult in markets will increase. Governments will give way to more gentle leaders as this last cabal attempts to hold power. Good will prevail with a hush of heaven, proclaiming peace on Earth, goodwill to man, for Earth's time of victory, a victory of brotherhood and peace, which you have worked for. The people of Earth do not want war. Brother will lay down sword against brother, and a time of peace ensues before ascension descends upon Earth, rising up the new Earth. I and my legions of warrior angels stand by to assist earth angels wherever you are in need. Form communities of light, directing seekers to them. For once the connection is made, no one can sever it. Begin to listen to Mother Earth, and as you open your channel, you will hear rumblings under her crust. Head your intuitive instincts and heed your intuitive instincts and learn to leave areas of that sound. Watch the animals and know and follow them. America will be both hurt and blessed in the coming months. Listen to your God within. I stand by with my sword of truth, ready to assist many light workers to safety and ascension where the new earth awaits. Many will not attend the party, as so many are concerned with fame, money, success, and approval of others. Awaken my light workers. I knight you with my sword of truth and ask you to assist those in areas of need. Peace, joy, and love be upon you. So, I am Archangel Michael, Adonai. So, I thought that was very interesting, the way he referenced the great central sun, in New Age parlance is galactic center.
Exactly.
I don't know if you were aware of that, but you probably were.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And so he's saying,
I loved what he said about communities of light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that we are beginning to form, some people are even being called to move to a new geographic location to form a community of light. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of communities of light on the internet where people are, you know, holding the light and working with these sacred energies of light. But I think that he is speaking more in terms of now we're moving into a phase where we actually need to ground the energies. And then he's talking about some more earth changes and people being aware of the ground underneath them and that sort of thing. And then he also correctly predicts that governments will give way to more gentle leaders and the tumults in the markets, which I had known about this. This was delivered in 2007, and I had pulled a lot of my money out. So I think it's very good practical advice, as well as, you know, he takes it on that galactic sort of level with galactic center, great central sun. But it gets back to what you were saying, too, about the sun. Now, of course, in the ancient cultures of Egypt and Mesopotamia and those which I teach in my art history classes, all the ancient people did worship the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And they did tune into the sun vibrations. And, you know, the sun has been regarded as a deity for quite some time. And there are truly energies that you can tap into. Even Jesus told me in one of his channelings that he was able to utilize the energies of the sun and store them in his physical vehicle and then release them to the people that needed the healing at that time, and that's how he did his healing. So the sun is very powerful, and I thought that was very insightful that you connect us again, once again, with our primordial deity, the sun, you know. And some people think, oh, that's just primitive, but it isn't. It truly is a stepping point on the way to what they call the galactic center, and I guess my understanding is the galactic center, it could be what we consider the God consciousness or the center of what our, you know, whole universe is. But again, it's a concept, and everybody's going to have a little different concept on these matters, but I think it's neat.
Well, and I, you know, when we talk about the sun, and this is the way I look at astrology, and it's wonderful to look at somebody's birth chart because all of the planets in somebody's chart represent not only their inner workings, but then their outer world. So like the moon in my chart would represent my emotional well-being and how I take care of my emotional needs, but externally it would represent my mother and other women, feminine influences in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole thing of the inner being reflected by the outer and the outer symbolizing the inner, so the idea that the galactic center, while it's a physical point in space, might also symbolize, you know, our source of a divine energy. And the whole thing about the sun, we know on a physical level that it supports the plants, it supports our very well-being, we couldn't exist without it. And so the fact that it also symbolizes an energy that we can tap into that is also our a life source, It just seems to me to go along with my whole concept of how everything is interrelated.
Yes, I totally concur with that. And I know all of us have experienced being on a beach on a summer day and laying there and letting the sun kind of warm you up, and you get this amazing energy from it. And I'm very fair, so I have to watch myself in the sun. But even so, you know, I use the best sunscreens. But, you know, the sun has a marvelous energy. And
it is definitely
the center of our solar system. And, of course, the new planets that have been discovered, and there's all kinds of things happening on these planets that astronomers are finding, that many of these planets have had shifts on their polar ice caps, where the North Pole becomes the South Pole, and this kind of thing. And there's just a heightened amount of activity. And then there is some talk that our sun is moving into a super-powered area of the universe that may cause some solar flares. And I know from looking at NASA that they're studying that very carefully right now, because they're saying, if we make it past 2012, then there will be thus, and thus. But they're quite concerned about these solar flares, and they're not making too much out of it for the general public. They don't want the general public to know that they're studying this very carefully, but in fact they are.
There are
a lot of these physical changes, and I wondered if you could speak to any of that.
Well, I know from also looking at the NASA sites that there's an 11-year cycle when it's 11 years building and I think 11 years receding, when there is an increase on a regular basis with solar flares and activity on the sun. And the next peak is in the 2011-2012 time frame. So the fact that, again, we have a correspondence between science and the metaphysical worlds that really focuses us in on some big shifts taking place. And then the whole thing that I was just talking about, where the outer reflects the inner. And if there is something about the energy that comes from the sun, if we are getting more solar wind, so maybe we can take that on a symbolic level or a literal level of receiving more information, more energy for change, maybe even energies that help us through this ascension process, however we choose to define that.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone's going to have a slightly different take on what it means, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had a different take a few years ago, and now I'm of a different mindset about what it is. I thought it was completely metaphysical, and all of the doomsday prophecy about 2012 was just, you know, I wanted to debunk it. Mm-hmm. Then I came across some very high-level information that was both scientific, and then I read more channeled books and have had more authors on that say, no, that maybe isn't the case, that maybe we are changing both physically and metaphysically, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of good evidence to support that, too. So mm-hmm. it's a fascinating subject, and we are, I know at least for myself, speaking for myself, we are moving in fast and quickly into sort of an accelerated time of being, where we're being asked to clear a lot of karma and release a lot of relationships and move on to our spiritual path and move up into the calling that we came for. And my guides have told me that the planet and her sun are all ascending, and meaning that, you know, the solar system is moving up in vibration. That is what Archangel Michael says here. He says, ascension is power, my child. It is dimensional warp. It is life in material and physical. The new wave of humans coming in should turn your mind to the truth that there is no extinction of the planet, but there are cleansings many. As well, the planet and her sun are all ascending, and this will cause changes on all the planets of your solar system. And then he goes on to say, in time, all of you in my group will be brought to a golden galaxy where life will begin again. As ascended beings, and yes, I am leaving the Earth with all who do ascend, who wish to ride the electromagnetic waves through time to another time. So yes, in time, your sun will become a dwarf star and leave on Earth their cords to another plane. So he's talking about things that are happening in the future. Now, whether this is happening, coming right up, because I was concerned, is this coming up right away or is this coming up later? I don't know. But I'll put that out there, you know, because there are different ways of interpreting the planetary ascension that's supposed to be coming up. It's supposed to be sort of a mass ascension of many humans at one time, or a mass awakening, you could call it that too. So
yeah,
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and I like that term awakening because, you know, if we are getting new energies reaching the planet and it is opening doorways, and this is true for everyone on the planet, and it's a process that I'm sure will be confusing for some and more comfortable for others, but we're all being challenged to raise our game, basically, is the way that I would like to term it. And it's all, it affects us all in different ways on a personal level, because we all have different patterns that we're in here to work with and heal, and different gifts that we're being asked to develop. And I think over the next 4 to 5 years, we really have some pretty big challenges to help us do both of those.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one thing that I really like to do is focus on the tools and the purpose of anything that occurs. And so one thing I do focus on when I'm talking with somebody about their charts is, okay, well, you know, what can I develop that I'm being asked to do here and now? Because it's really easy to spend too much time in a future, and our power is in the now. And whatever 2012 looks like in real terms, our power is still in the now. And so for each of us to pay attention to our own intuitive guidance and use whatever tools we can along the way to inform who we are, to heal where we are not quite where we want to be yet. And then, because Saturn's involved too, do our work. It's a combination, and we all chose to be here at this time to take advantage of this exciting opportunity. And that's kind of a way I like to look at it. And I think I read this somewhere, so it's not original with me. But we look at our lives and we say, why would I have chosen that parent? Or why would I have chosen this experience? You know, I wouldn't have chosen this. That's ridiculous. But if you look at the soul's perspective before life, having gone through, and this is all my personal bias about how reality works, so if somebody out there isn't believing it, you can just drop this part. But I believe we choose our lifetimes. We choose our time of birth. We have multiple lifetimes that we process and learn through. So if a soul is looking at the lifetime about to be engaged and embarked on, it would be like standing at the entrance of an amusement park. Which ride do I want to take today? Which experience do I want to have? If I go on the Ferris wheel, I may feel some fear, but I'm also going to feel the elation of having gotten over that fear and coming back down to ground again, and it's going to be so exciting. And so I think all of us, in choosing to be here on the planet now, we're looking at this amusement park, in a sense, and saying, I really want to be a part of that.
Yeah. Well, it's just like choosing your ascension, you know. It's something that you probably came for in your karmic agreement before you did incarnate, but you're just now opening up to the possibility that this is even a possibility for you. And
right.
Basically, as I understand it, when you're choosing ascension, you're choosing to move into your higher dimensional self. You're also choosing to end karma on this lifetime, on this round of lifetimes, and to understand your past life so that you're moving up in vibration. You're moving up one step at a time until you get to the point of quote-unquote graduation where you no longer need to incarnate. That's my basic understanding of ascension. So that, you know, at some point or another, you're moving out of the physical into the next step, whatever that is, and you're not going to need to come back and repeat, you know, any more incarnations or whatever. That is kind of how the Indian, the Hindu tradition interprets it, too. It's an ancient way of looking at our spiritual growth process.
Right. And my feeling about this time in reality, and time is a, you know, very human concept, but the difference between this time and just us all dying is the fact that in this ascension process, we're being asked to raise our vibrations while we're still in the physical body.
Absolutely.
And so that's why, you know, so many issues are up and we're dealing with so many challenges, because if our vibrations are raising, it means that those things that we've held on to that are not of that higher vibration need to be released, need to be managed in some way, we need to grow up in a lot of ways. We need to take more responsibility for our lives and understand how to use our energy if we're going to really succeed in this process. So, you know, the whole raising of vibration, I certainly agree that that's a part of it. And yet, that also means that anything that's of a lower vibration in us is going to start vibrating and need our attention, need for us to look
at. And does
at
that
it.
Also include, would you also define others around you of a lower vibration that need to be removed from your life? I mean, this is something, an issue I've been working through myself, you know.
You know,
releasing people from situations that are karmic, that are of lower vibration, that are bringing you down, I would interpret that probably is a personal kind of a cleansing that we need to think about.
And that may very well be the case, but it also will always benefit us to again look at the outer as a reflection of the inner. If there's somebody in our lives who we're not appreciating for one way or another, is there a remaining piece in us that they're reflecting that we need to heal or work on in a new way? And if we feel like we've done our work and this person is no longer a part of our intended path, you know, I'm sure there will be some relationships that go their separate ways during these times. But everybody is making new choices. And to me, the first question is always, what does this represent in me? And maybe what do I need to work on in myself that this is representing?
Mm-hmm. So you're taking all of the astrology on down to a very personal level, which is great, too.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that's where our power lies. Again, our power is in the now and in how we manage our own energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, believe it or not, Pam, we've talked through an entire hour.
You're kidding. This is great.
No, okay. I'm not. This is great. I want to point out Pam's website for those of you that want to check it out. She is located at www.northpointastrology.com, and you can see that beautiful picture of the center of the universe there. And also, we're going to close out with a song that is appropriate to this by Bob Murray, as channeled by Bob Murray. This is influenced by John, and it's titled Remarkable Nebulae. And we thank you all for joining, and I want to encourage you to listen again next week, because over the Thanksgiving weekend, we are featuring Joshua Shapiro, and we're going to get into the excitement surrounding him and the crystal skull. So do join us again. Thank you so much, Pam, for your illumination about the planets, and thank you all of our listeners. Please tune in again, and goodbye for now.